Welcome to the Baby Pictures of Famous Dictators podcast, episode 2. I'm your host, Carmen Pitaccio, managing and only editor, Baby Pictures of Famous Dictators, and with me today is Sam Takeon of the band River City Extension.
Hello.
Hi, Sam.
Hey.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Carmen.
River City Extension's newest album, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Your Anger, is out this June on XOXO Records, and they will be touring to support the record starting tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow. Which is September 20-something.
26th.
Thank you, Stat Girl. So tell us, let's talk about the new record to start off.
Okay.
The recording process, your input, your role. You play the banjo on this record and some guitar?
Ah.
Is that right? Minimum guitar.
You're making this up.
Yeah, I'm making it up. Seat of my pants here.
So, yeah, the last record was The Unmistakable Man. And we recorded that with Pat Noon, who is from Tom's River. He owns and runs 816 Recording. So we did it with him. But then for the second record, we were all, oh, we're like, we have to branch out.
And right.
Like,
serious musicians now.
Yeah, this is our statement, man.
From humble beginnings.
This is our sophomore record. So
we gotta avoid the slump.
Oh, did we? I don't know. I hope so.
I think the second record is far superior to the first.
I agree with you.
Although the first record is very good, and I think everyone should buy it.
Yeah, hey, me too.
Because of those residuals, right?
Yeah. Royalties. Yeah. Call me the queen.
Talk about the record.
Okay. So yeah, we recorded with Brian Deck, who
worked with Modest Mouse.
Oh my god. Like,
which albums did he produce with Modest Mouse?
The Moon in Antarctica.
One of the best albums ever made.
The best album, like, probably
arguably
my favorite.
One of the best albums ever made.
Besides the Lonesome Crowded West. Oh, I don't know, there's so many. I don't know. But, so yeah.
He also did Lonesome Crowded West?
No, he didn't. He did that.
That's fine. We can forgive him for that.
Yeah. I was
Moon in Antarctica is more than adequate.
So good. And they did that on, like, a shoestring budget. And,
I'm
like,
sure.
He was telling,
in Isaac Brock's trailer park.
Yeah. While he was, like,
blowing in the jugs with the bass drum. I could see it.
He would tell me all these, like, inside stories. Because I'm, like, a fangirl. I'd be like, so what was
right,
it
right,
like,
right.
You know? And he would, like, he was supposed to do their second record, but, like, their drummer was, like, so fucked up on drugs and, like,
well, they have three drummers, so one of them is bound to be on mushrooms. It's probabilities,
game. It was just, like, crazy. But anyway, so, yeah, we did that. We did our record with him, and he works with Iron and Wine, and he did Marco and the Nuclear So-and-So's record. So we were a huge fan of what he was doing, and we were, like, we couldn't believe that he was, like, ready and willing and wanting to work with us.
Right.
So
don't sell yourself short.
You
guys are a great band.
Well, thank you, and we're happy, but, like, we're just a bunch of kids from Tom's River, and then we're like, oh my god, like,
you know who else is though? The head chef at Per Se.
Oh, he is, and possible rookie of the year, Todd Frazier.
Right.
Who
things are happening.
Carmen Pitaccio. Russ Rowe.
Hi, Russ. We're looking at Russ right now.
We're looking at you. We're really creepy right now. Anyway, the record.
The
album. So we went to Chicago. What up, Justin Garber? And
every podcast has a Garber shout out in it so far. We're 2 for 2 at episode 100. Check back. You're in Chicago. What recording studio are you guys at?
We're at Engine Studios, which has since joined with a bigger studio. I forget who they're with now, but in any event, yeah, we stayed in Chicago for a little over a month. And yeah, it was a rigorous process, man. We worked every day, all day. Brian liked to take off on Saturdays, I think. Sometimes he'd come in on Sundays, and, like, we would also, like, lollygag a bit, so we fell behind, and we had to
They give you a date, a very set date. You have to have
very
the record done by this day, or else they, the guillotine.
Yeah, when you sign with
XOXO guillotine.
Well, it's a small label, so we get a little bit more freedom with
leeway,
them.
Yeah.
But with Brian, like, we pay him from a certain date to a certain date. So, like, anywhere after that is either extra money or you're fucked.
So,
it was an intense process.
Talk about the banjo.
I don't play banjo on the record. I play banjo live.
Oh, okay.
So
how did you learn? Were you an autodidact, self-taught banjo player?
No, I wouldn't even call myself a banjo player.
You
I, like,
play it
baked
live,
my
it's
way
fine.
Through it. The record was banjo heavy. And
very banjo heavy, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
The banjo never gets its due.
No,
Mumford and Sons are trying,
hey,
though.
Come on. So
they're dominating. They're going to be number one on the Billboard this week with a banjo.
Did you like their new record?
I haven't listened to it. I heard the single on SNL with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I think the single's good.
Yeah, the single's good.
The band is too one-dimensional for me. All their songs seem to follow the exact same trajectory.
Then that's the exact same. Yeah, I felt the same way. And, like, I was kind of, like, hated on it at first, but then I was like, oh, but the songs are so good, so it doesn't matter. But now the second record is, like, more or less the exact same thing.
Right. Where do you go? Same, when you're a Mumford and Sons, you're a four-piece with a...
Yeah. And if they played it safe, like, I understand, like, why I guess they didn't want to change their sound too much, or if they have any desire to change their sound, or if they... whatever. It's up to them. But I was expecting...
Mumford and Sons, you guys are fine.
You're okay. I still love you. Take us on
tour. I can imagine Mumford and Sons listening to this podcast, and they're just wrapping banjo strings around their neck, hanging themselves from the barn that they live inside. But they're on tour right now, just like your band's going to be. Let's talk about the tour. Where are you guys playing? Where's the first? Where's the last? Where are you in between?
Okay. Yeah. So, well, we've been touring all summer long.
Mm-hmm. I saw you. Fantastic show.
Hey, yeah. Over in Hoboken.
Right.
It's been a crazy summer and, like, nonstop. Like, I don't think we've ever been on the road as much as we have been. We're touring again. I leave tomorrow. I just got a text message from my tour manager at like 7. So there's that. But we're our first day. We're going on the road with Langhorne Slim. And we're touring with him down to the Austin City Limits Music Festival, which I'm really excited about. Yeah. I've never been to the festival, but like I've been hearing about it and reading about it forever. And to be able to like go there for the first time and play is like.
Yeah.
It's really
well, I think
awesome.
The Sufjan Stevens episode of Austin City Limits is one of the best live things I've ever seen in my life.
Amazing.
It changed my life. The wings. That's what maybe you guys need. Like
set of wings.
Outfit coordination and angelic wings. It's a great show. I saw him too, but just keep going. Keep going about the tour. You go to Australia, Harvest Festival.
Yeah. So after we finish with ACL, we come back home and we leave, I think, in the middle of November. We fly to Australia, and we're doing the Harvest Festival. And I was telling you at dinner, the people who run Harvest also do this, like, hardcore festival that we did last year.
Hardcore metal music.
Like, metal. Like, straight fucking metal.
Right.
These are
all Australian bands in the metal festival?
No.
It's a mix.
It's a mix. It was everybody from, like, Saves the Day to Limp Bizkit to, like, Black Veil Brides to, like...
High on Fire.
To, like, us.
Sure. Well, you need that palate cleanser, I think.
We were the token indie band, I guess. But this is, like, to kind of, like, demonstrate to you how different we were from the lineup there. We were playing this song, and, like, the stage before us was a bunch of, like, wah, wah, wah. So we get on stage.
Great impression of that.
Yeah,
I really captured that band.
So we get on stage, and, like, you know, we start doing our, like, way,
the hits.
And this guy and his chick come over, and they're, like, dressed, like, head to toe black. Like, black hair, black clothes, black nails.
Me. An Australian me.
Yes. And they, like, come up, like, right to the front middle. And they're, like, staring at me in the face.
Threesome. They're gonna suggest a threesome.
And, like,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
They look to their left, they look to their right, and they just, like, throw up both of their middle fingers and, like, are like, wah! Like, they start screaming. And I couldn't stop laughing. It was, like, the fucking funniest thing that I had ever seen in my life. And Joe was looking at me like...
This is in a crowd of, what, 10,000 people?
No, it wasn't that much, because it was a big festival on big festival grounds. So
there were
probably, like, 500 people there.
Right.
They were not happy, but I thought it was, like, the funniest thing I've ever seen. But this festival is different because I guess we paid our dues with that festival, and now Harvest is, like, comparable to, like, a Bonnaroo.
Okay.
So they
the
have
Australian
like a,
equivalent.
Yeah. So
to all Australian listeners out there,
big the sharks are out.
Big Australian
you
presence,
guys are like stupid. we're playing with, like, Grizzly Bear and Sigur Rós and Beck and Beirut and, you know, just all these amazing, amazing bands. So I'm so excited to be there. And then we come home after the Australian festival, we come home a day before our our annual Thanksgiving Eve show.
At Cool Beans?
No, it's the Stone Pony.
Sure.
So that's what this year looks like going into 2013.
There could definitely be some tour stories in there with partying with Grizzly Bear.
Oh my God. Well, hopefully.
They are as wild as the Grizzly Bear.
There have been some pretty crazy things that have happened.
Tell us some of your favorite road stories. Okay. Your Kid Rock. Sort of.
Well, okay. I'm a huge fan of My Morning Jacket.
Okay.
And,
as am I. Fantastic.
Amazing.
Band.
So I guess it wasn't this year. I guess it was 2 years ago when we were playing at South by Southwest. There's a fellow Tom's Riverin, Danny Clinch, who's like a world famous photographer. He is like the photographer in rock and roll. He's photographed everybody from like that you know, iconic Tupac Shakur picture with like the black and white with his shirt off.
This guy's from Tom's River.
He lives over on Tom's River, like right by the.
Never. Good for him, but keep going.
Anyway,
so he was there.
He has taken a liking to our band. He's been like so great to us. And at South by that year, he filmed he was doing a film with My Morning Jacket and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band.
Right. They played with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they have been, and they've taken that on tour. So they were, it was kind of like a film about like the relationship between them, and they did the film at Preservation Hall with them, like playing with one another. So Danny was like, hey guys, like, I got you some VIP tickets if you'd like to come. Like, there's gonna be, you know, Prez Hall is gonna play going into the theater, and Jim is, and the band is gonna be there.
Does this man have an esophagus?
He sounds like that. Yeah, he's great.
Did he have a tracheotomy performed while he was inviting you to this show?
He's really cool. So, you're like, oh my gosh, absolutely.
So we're backstage with My Morning Jacket.
No, we weren't backstage. Like, the Prez Hall comes through, and they're like kind of like leading a parade into the theater, and Jim James is like singing with this big megaphone, and like breaking shit. Like, you know, he's
wearing the Eskimo boots and the cape.
He wasn't wearing the Eskimo boots, but he was in a black suit, and I do think he had the cape on.
The cape is fantastic.
Oh my God! So he sits down like a row in front of me. So like it's like our band and My Morning Jacket is right in front of us, and we're all like, dude.
This is your making it moment.
This is like, holy shit. And like, so My Morning Jacket's on that side, and then like Prez Hall's on that side. So we're like, I'm like losing it. And
did you take a lock of his hair? That type of deal.
Kind of, but it gets
small
better.
Voodoo doll. Okay, keep going.
So we, after the movie's over, like, we're kind of, like, looking, schmoozing around, like, oh, like, whatever.
Networking.
Well, not really networking. We're just, like, kind of talking to ourselves, like, in a circle, but, like, we're kind of close to My Morning Jacket.
That's my networking.
So we're hoping
only there
that,
is
like,
no My Morning Jacket. Talking to the people I know in a circle.
That's how it
that's
happens.
That's it.
So then Danny comes over and is like, oh, like, he goes to Joe, like, Joe, like, why don't you come meet Jim? And so Joe goes over, and we're all like in the circle, like, oh, like we want to meet Jim. But no, it was awesome. And then Joe comes over, and he's like, guys, Danny just invited us to go to lunch with Jim James and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band.
Paninis with My Morning Jacket.
So we're like, what? And like all of us are like, yeah, let's go. But then we get there and like we realize that there's like eight of us in a band, and like we can't all fucking sit down and have lunch with
Jim
James.
You all sat on top of each other in one chair.
So like we're like, me and Joe, like we're all big fans of them, but like me and Joe are like fucking huge fans of them. So like all the guys in the band were kind of like really cool, and they're like, no, like, all right, you guys go. Like, I think it'll be like a good thing. So we sat down, and you know, actually, it's funny, like, so the place that we sat in was like kind of like ritzy pritzy, and like
bougie.
I don't have, yeah, a little bougie, and I have no money.
The
and
aristocrats
like,
are out, yeah. Dining with Jim James.
I'm sitting like two seats away from Jim, and like the leader of Prez Hall is there with his wife, and she's really sweet, but they like come in with this like brown bag. They went to like Whole Foods before they went to the restaurant.
Ballsy.
So they're all like hiding this brown bag and like passing us like sandwiches under the table. So we're eating these sandwiches that have been like snuck into the restaurant, and we're all just like bullshitting, and like this is like the first kind of like real starstruck moment that I had. So like, you know, you go from listening to somebody every day in your car to like going and like sitting down with it. Like there's, I couldn't in my head, like,
it's hard to reconcile those things.
Yeah. So like, I just like really wanted to tell him how much I love him and appreciate him. And but like, yeah. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, but like we had just watched this movie and we played Voodoo Festival with them like a bit before that. So like, I wanted to like make these connections to him and be like, oh, like, love you, played with you at Voodoo, just saw your movie with you as you were seeing it,
there's
and
a lot
like
of overlay.
You're so cool. And I didn't say it that way, but I said it in a way where I was like stumbling over my words and like
making a total
probably
fool of
farted
yourself
or something. I don't know. And like, nice. And I just ended up being like, oh, like, yeah. And so thank you. You're just like so awesome, and I love you. And he just stared at me. He didn't say anything. He just like that. And then I just proceeded to, like, turn back into my seat and look at my plate and not say anything for the rest of the day.
That's a great story.
Yeah, so that was that.
Kill your idols.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Tell the Bam Margera one now. That one's...
Oh, my God.
Because I have a huge listener base that are also Bam Margera fans.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this my blog actually started as sort of a Jackass type thing. I would do crazy stuff, staple gun my face to another person's face.
No, you didn't.
No. But just tell the Bam Margera story. Anyway, also R.I.P. Ryan Dunn.
Yeah.
You got to take this in context that he was mourning.
Yeah.
And we're never going to get over it.
Yeah, never.
Never.
Ever.
I still tweet almost every other day how far we are from Ryan Dunn's death.
So we were in Australia.
With Bam Margera.
Well, with this festival that I was talking about, that
the hardcore festival. What's the name of this thing?
I forget.
It must be insane.
It is, and it's big.
No,
it has
that
a
you
huge following.
The name.
It's kind of like the Warped Tour.
Okay.
It's
Australian
like
Warped Tour.
Right.
They
but
got
they have
every,
all the American
oh,
bands, so
right.
it kind of like
the,
is
you know,
Warped
Tour. All
the
big Australian bands. Cut Copy. Who else is Australian?
What were the two guys who had the HBO show? Concord,
they're from New Zealand.
Oh. That's the thing.
They're
it's
not
like,
even
oh, we're
from
not
Australian.
Right,
right, right, right. They're Kiwis.
Okay. So anyway, yeah. So we're at this festival, and Bam is not. I guess what's his brother's band, or like he plays in a band.
Oh, him.
No,
oh,
it's like
CK.
Something CK, yeah.
That's
whatever.
What the iPad's for.
Oh,
keep
yeah.
talking, though. We're going to look it up.
So we all travel together because it's like it goes across like all these different cities. And I guess – and so like we'd go onto a flight and it would just be like all of the artists from the show. So we're waiting in the airport and like I look up and I see this like sloppy mess on the floor – just like screaming and like saying shit and like
CKY is the band.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But keep going. You see him screaming on the floor.
So I'm like, oh my God, I think that's Bam Margera. And like, it totally is. And he's like carrying around like all these paintings because I guess he's like a painter now.
Or and he's an art enthusiast.
No, I think he's
or he's an art thief.
Yeah. Any of those
robbed,
are plausible.
Yeah, Australian Museum.
So yeah, we're and I'm like, oh my God, like he's so fucked up. And the police come over and they're like, dude, like you need to get up or we're going to like escort you out and you're going to get arrested. And he was like, then arrest me. And like,
what a rock star.
Australians are like notoriously known for being non-confrontational. So like the cops,
they?
Yeah, the cops
what
just walk
the
away.
Knife?
They just don't even, they
what
do
about croc.
So then I see like a girl who was probably 13 years old with
Perfect.
High heels this high, wheeling around her mother in a wheelchair.
Right.
And Bam Margera is literally incoherent at this point with his head on his shoulder and his mouth open. And, like, the girl wheels her mother over and, like, knocks, like, he starts, like, knocking Bam and it's like, Bam, Bam, like, can you take a picture? And, like, they, like, literally, like, he's, like, now he's, like, kind of up, but he's, like, all. And they're literally, like, holding his head up and, like, taking a picture with him.
We need to get that picture.
Oh,
I'll try
my
to get
God.
That picture for the podcast. We'll put this pic stitch in there.
Yeah, so that's my Bam story.
Crazy stories. Let's transfer to uncrazy stories. the off-the-road lifestyle. What happens when you're at the top of the mountain and you have to take that precipitous slide down and land in the muck of Toms River, New Jersey for a month at a time between tours?
Well,
take us through your typical day.
I live at home, so sure. I live with my mom, my stepfather, and my niece. And, like, there's never a dull moment there. And it's always lovely coming home to them because, like, you know, okay, so it's really strange being on the road because you're with, like, you're packed like sardines in a van.
24 hours a day.
Yeah, not necessarily 24 hours, for, like, really long fucking van rides. And then, like, if you're lucky, you stay in a hotel or maybe you'll crash on a friend's floor to save money.
Right.
So, like, they become your family, you know what I mean? Like as you would get in fights with, say, your sister.
I never fight with my sister.
Well, we all fight like we're brothers and sisters, but like, you know, at the end of it, there's love. So you go from like finding confidants and like people to like talk about life and these things with, and to like coming home to like your actual family.
Who you have to completely ignore and can't share anything with.
Well, no, it just like goes from like one extreme to the next because it's like your life on the road is so completely different and
it's a rough transition.
And like they don't get it, you know, like
this is what Radiohead does.
But like, no, we're not at all. And like, and
sure, sure.
Well, no, and it's just like not a glamorous thing. And like, it's tough to go through, you know, like you go through missing friends, missing things at home, like ending up breaking up with girlfriends and boyfriends just because like you it's a different world, you know?
It's transient life as opposed to a sedentary one.
Yeah, and then, like, you come home and everyone's like, oh, so how was it? And it's like, whoa, I went through this different, like, life experience. And, like, I'm this transition in my life. It's just like, oh, it was good. So, I don't know. It's weird. And then you have to get, like, readjusted. And, like, I don't ever have any money. So I had a job. And then I think I got fired.
It's up in the air.
It's still up in the air.
If your boss is listening, please text or call.
Please contact me.
And let her know if she's fired or not. If she's going on tour tomorrow and it doesn't matter.
Well, that's the thing. So then, yeah, and then, you know, then you come home and you have nothing to do and your friends all have their jobs and you can only hang out with them on like some idle Tuesday night.
Except if your friend is a graduate student with no life and a podcast.
I'm really happy you're doing this.
We're doing great. But you know what else we did? We went to Xena, the most popular restaurant in New Jersey
it
right now.
It is popping off in there.
It just broke a million Yelp reviews according to my iPad.
Whoa.
We waited. We got on the reservation list. I made reservations last week and we still had to wait 2 hours, but we got in. We got in and let's give our review right now. We're going to put it on a 5-strawberry system.
Okay.
How many strawberries? I was limited only to one thing on the menu because I'm a vegetarian and don't eat anything except pad thai.
Yeah, so it's tough to go to a sushi restaurant.
I'm not going
to
say anything about anything but the decor and the hostesses.
What'd you think about that? The decor.
I'm going to process my thoughts on you. You go first. Tell us about what you got. Your
pros and cons.
Sure.
Pro, kind of a con, alcohol. I like that you can bring your own bottle because it's cheaper in the long run.
That's
but
true.
When we were as we were tonight.
I had no idea.
You had no idea.
Alcohol.
But as Andrea said, sometimes they'll slip it under. So it could be a pro or a con depending on how you want to
look at it. Pro or
con. Food-wise, I think the sushi is really good.
Mm.
But, like, I also am not a real sushi person. Like, I don't eat the raw food. I'm like, give me all the fried stuff. So, I can't.
You like deep-fried sushi.
Yeah, come on, girl. How do you think I live? So, yeah, and I also had the spicy crab salad, which I had today for the first time. But I think it was, like, the imitation crab.
Yeah, as it usually is.
And I for some reason, like, since it's, like, so on and popping in there, I thought it was going to be
you felt a little, it was like they were serving you an artificial experience.
Yeah.
The chairs, I thought, were comfortable enough.
Okay.
The tables were smooth.
And no wobbly.
No wobble, but it's relatively new. We'll have a podcast in 5 years, check in on Xena. The pad thai was
subpar, I think.
Not very flavorful.
Wang Sushi does a good pad thai.
And I still eat eggs, so I look forward to that egg portion of my pad thai being saturated in the yolk dripping out of my mouth as I'm paralyzed by how scrumptious it is. And they pretty much scrimped on the eggs. It was very minimal eggs. The forks were, you know, regular forks. I enjoy restaurants that, you know, you pick up that piece of silverware and it's substantial.
Yeah.
There's a weight to it.
There's a meaning.
There's a meaning behind that they're being mindful of the weight and presentation of their utensils, which I think is important.
Yeah.
if I owned a restaurant, there would be – the forks would be as big as the table. You would have to go with a minimum party of four just to pick up the forks.
I think they might have not done the fork thing because they're so focused on the sushi and you know, the chopsticks.
We were supposed to actually have a third guest at the restaurant with us that I didn't tell you about, Chris McGowan.
Why didn't he come?
I texted him. I called him. For some reason, for the past 2 weeks, he hasn't been returning my texts or calls.
I saw him today.
Did you?
I think.
No, it wasn't him. Okay. He has work today in New York.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't him. Because was remember...
You know who it probably was? Quentin Tarantino.
I was looking for him when I was in France, too. Not Quentin Tarantino, Chris McGowan.
Well, Quentin Tarantino hangs out in France, too. That's where the Inglourious Basterds live.
Oh, perfect.
Good movie.
Great movie.
While on the subject of McGowan, though, let's go talk about your favorite McGowan memory.
Chris McGowan was always a very, very sweet boy. I remember when he first moved.
Sweet as in taste sweet.
Okay, so maybe. I don't know.
Sure you don't. Why don't you tell about your romantic history?
Well, that's what I was just going to try to say.
Delve into that. That's what the people want to hear.
There were two boys on my, in my neighborhood.
Right.
Well, actually, the top three.
Top three.
Were, like, the boys in my neighborhood who I was semi-interested in. Mark Halpin.
Right.
Chris McGowan.
Of course.
Jordan Spormeyer.
Right.
Top three.
Jordan Spormeyer of Made fame.
Of Made fame, yes. So.
He did the triathlon.
He did. He did it.
He finished it.
Maybe not happily, but he did it.
No. He didn't get to eat the pancakes.
So, eh.
But do we ever get to eat the pancakes? Sometimes you have to sacrifice to win the MTV triathlon.
Was it an MTV triathlon?
I doubt it. In my mind, they had completely rigged the whole thing.
Gene Simmons is like at the end. Yeah!
Well, it'd be Jesse Camp, I think.
But yeah, so those are my top three boys. And like Mark got cut.
How do you choose between that? Well, why did Mark Halpin get cut?
Mark Halpin got cut because...
Yeah, he had great hair.
Great hair.
Great hair.
He's now married with a kid.
Good for him.
His parents still live across the street. So, yeah, anyway.
Do you watch them?
No.
You sit in the window with binoculars?
No. Where's that fucking wife and kid? His mom comes over my mom's house sometimes. But anyway, so yeah, Mark got cut because like...
He had a wife and kids.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is in first grade, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then Jimmy... I really had a crush on Jimmy Rockland.
How can you not?
And he didn't like me. No, I don't. He still doesn't like you.
He still doesn't. I saw him at the bar the other night. He's like, I got to tell you something. This has been on my chest for 12 years. I got to get it off.
I never liked Sam.
She keeps bothering me and talking about Mark Halpin.
So Jimmy gave me the cut, and then Chris McGowan moved in.
Wait. So like Mark moved into the, not the neighborhood.
Into the neighborhood.
Oh, perfect.
So... I was like, who? And he was such
this
a
This is like the girl next
boy.
Door, but he with McGowan. Boy next door.
And like, he's such a porn star sweet way about him. Like, these bright brown eyes. Does that make sense? Bright brown. But he was just such a sweet boy.
There is a special quality to his brown eyes.
Yeah, they like glimmered a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was just always so nice to me. I remember there's this really mean boy in the playground once who would always pick on me. And Mark, hello.
Oh, Freudian slip. Get over it.
He stuck up for me. And like, and I wanted to give him a kiss on the cheek, but I didn't because recess got called in. But
prude. They always say that.
So,
got called in.
He was my first grade boyfriend, and we had a little crush on each other for some time.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I wish he came to Xena tonight. That would have been cool.
I wish too, but he won't return my emails, my tweets at him. He doesn't have a Twitter account. I made him one and am tweeting at it. He won't answer me, and I don't know why. We'll call him at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
See what he's up to.
Oh, wait. You should tell the listeners that we're doing a song at the
end. Oh, right. I forgot about the song. The end of the podcast, we're going to do a song for everybody, a Fleet Foxes song that we rehearsed once, and it's going to be very bad.
Here's hoping it goes well.
Here's to us in a couple of minutes.
Stay tuned and listen to the end of the podcast for this song.
You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. What song? I don't know. Maybe you got to keep tuning in to hear. So we talked about McGowan. While we're on the subject of Tom's River Folk, the person who produced your first album has a nephew who plays... The son of Jimmy Darmody on Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
Essentially, you're on the show.
It's basically.
You're on it.
Basically, Martin Scorsese is my best friend.
Yes. You guys hang out in Tribeca.
Oh, yeah. he takes me to all the nice Italian restaurants.
Google Plus hangout with Robert De Niro. Yeah. All fun stuff.
So yeah, it's actually not his, just not one. It's they're twins. Because to work around the labor laws.
Oh, right. Just like the Olsen twins. That's
so
smart.
I met them, actually, when we were...
Were you starstruck, like, when you met Jim James? Like, oh, my God.
No, they were so cute. They were sweet boys. They were telling me about... Well, one of them was, like, very outgoing, and he was telling me how...
That's the future movie star one?
Yeah, for sure. And he was telling me how he's really trying to get his girlfriend on the show.
Right. And this kid is seven.
How he's going to talk to Mr. Marty about it.
Mr. Marty.
And how he was recently in Tiffany's looking at bracelets to get this girl.
Damn.
So
he's already ahead of me in the game.
And this is pre-pussy. So, like, she must be really cool.
Well, he's going to have sex with her and she'll probably suck. And I'll be like, oh, my God.
He's like, fuck, I'm seven.
Well, when they have sex when they're eight. But Boardwalk Empire is a show that we both watch.
Yeah.
I think it's the only show that we're both caught up on because it premiered last week.
Did you see both episodes? There's two.
I have watched two episodes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, it premiered 2 weeks ago. That's right.
Yeah.
Both episodes I thought were equally boring.
Yeah.
Very boring.
Well, it's tough, I think, especially like I really loved The Wire. And as far as I'm concerned, it's like the best TV show to, or kind of like anything to ever be made. I think it's like.
The best anything. That's a tall
order. It really
order.
Is. I think it's like such a great show. So.
I have a fraught relationship with that show, but we're not going to get into that.
But it's
me and my
because,
therapist have been going through it for a while.
You and your New York therapist.
Who won't be named.
Dun, dun, dun. No, so I think it's difficult to, because I was spoiled with The Wire. I watched it like episode after episode after episode, like season through season, because it was finished by the time I started watching it. But with Boardwalk Empire, like, I feel like you can't get that same, like flow because you have to wait a whole year to see it again, and then you have to wait a week to see the next episode. So, like, I think you get, like, some things get lost.
You're saying that the show doesn't translate to the serialized format?
Yeah, I think.
Well, I don't think the show translates to any format. I think it's boring.
Yeah, maybe it is. I haven't been...
I think a lot of it, the problem is the casting, that he can't carry the show, I don't think.
Yeah, I never really bought... him as like this hard
Buscemi,
throwing
who
gangster.
Is a fantastic actor. He's such a good actor. I always wonder if there's like the sexual element that since like, you know, Don Draper and Tony Soprano are not only they're very sexualized and sort of eroticized, and maybe that's a draw.
And I really loved
but
Jimmy Darmody.
Michael Pitt
was like such a great part of
that was the best
of
part
show.
Of the show. Even though he had the sort of cliched Oedipus complex and the, I saw some shit in the wood and that type of thing going on. But even then, he was like the most compelling part of the show.
He was.
And they shoot him in the face. No spoilers.
Do you know he didn't even know that he was getting
right. Apparently,
the show until he saw the script? And he was like, what? Like, oh, yeah, sorry, dude.
Like, fuck you.
But yeah, this season hasn't taken me by storm. But usually, I don't know, to get into the swing of things, maybe like by
you say it's a slow build. It's a grower season.
Well, because that dude.
I don't know. I'm pretty close to giving up on the show.
Who's
I can't
that
do
guy?
Bobby Cannavale.
Yeah, great.
Who is amazing.
Amazing.
I think he's the only person on the show actually from New Jersey, I think.
Yeah, he's great. He was on Nurse Jackie, too, which I
never watched.
Watched by default.
Boredom.
Boredom, and my
Showtime.
Mom really loves it. No, I have HP.
I bet there's
it.
A lot of moms out there that love that show.
Yeah, well, because my mom's a nurse.
Ah.
There's been drug problems in my family. Not with my mom or anything, but, you know, there's so...
Yeah.
It all kind of, like, made sense.
Very
and she's
relatable.
Like, oh, my God, I get it. So I'd watch it with her sometimes, but, yeah, I hope it picks up a little bit, but I enjoy the show.
Marty Scorsese, if you're listening, pick it up. He's got to have more
pick it up, Marty.
Do something. But, you know, Boardwalk Empire may be arguably boring, inarguably boring, Mitt Romney. We're going to talk about Mitt Romney now, who's had a great week.
Oh,
he's
my
killing
God.
It. Since the convention, he seems to be
on the up
picking up steam like a boulder down a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
He's on fire.
And he's now bronze.
He's bronze. Talk about this. You described this at dinner as he got a skin transplant.
Oh, I said he dyed his skin.
He dyed his skin, which means he got a spray tan.
Well, I showed you the before and after picture, and podcast listeners, if you want to check it out, there's a picture of him 2 days before he made this speech, and the day he made this speech, like, which was specifically for Latino, you know, constituents. I forget where it was.
Appealing
I know it was
to
for
the
Univision.
Hispanic base.
Yeah. So
trying to get his ethnic vote up,
right? And this is after
which he has locked. I don't get it.
Come on, this is after that whole video came out of the 47% of Americans
Fantastic.
Are like you know, victims who don't know what to do with their lives. I might be one of that person.
I'm certainly one of them. And that's, but I still have to vote for him, I think.
Oh my God. So I couldn't believe, like, did you see the Colbert Report take? Oh my God. No. You have to watch it.
We can pull it up after.
Esteban Colberto. And it is so good.
He has the spray tan and the maracas.
Yeah, he's sticking up for his boy and he's talking about that whole deal, but he is just a fucking sad man. Oh.
I can't get over him. I've been writing this blog post, why I'm voting for Mitt Romney. It's a popular thing. Everyone loves it on Facebook. You write, you know, our souls are on the line, our everlasting lives. This is the election that will decide the fate of the entire world. And then they have this big tirade about why they're voting for Mitt Romney. And it gets, I'd say, close to 2,000 likes per person, even if they don't have 2,000 friends.
Hey.
So I've been working on this blog post, but it keeps growing and growing. It's at 200,000 words right now.
Wow.
And I just can't say why I'm voting for him enough.
Oh, hey.
No, I can. I definitely can. But we're also, we're going to sort of vote on things that we like that are podcasts, rival podcasts.
Rival podcasts.
They're our competition, but
watch out, Iverglass.
You're gonna give some props to them because we're both fans of podcasts. Mm-hmm. Big fans. We
big
got
fans.
Apps. There's an app for that.
What app do you use?
Stitcher.
Stitcher, okay.
Which stitches all the podcasts together.
Wow.
Hence the name.
Do you see what they did there with that?
Genius. The marketing people at Stitcher. But back to what app do you use? Let's talk about that.
I use Instacast. I'll actually pull up the podcast that I listen to.
Arrival.
We were talking
Stitcher
before about Bill Burr. His Monday morning podcast is like really funny.
Bill Burr has I think last month released a stand-up special straight to Netflix, and it is spectacular.
I'll have to watch it.
Everyone
when I get
should
home.
Listen to it. He is great.
He's so funny.
He's one of the comedians that his material is great, but his affect steps it up so much.
Did you see him on Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I guess he's an actor, too.
Yeah.
He had to have known Vince Gilligan or something, I think.
He talks about it on the podcast.
Oh, he does?
Like how he got on and
how
stuff.
How did he get on?
And you'll have to listen to find out.
Listen at home, friends.
I listened to The Nerdist. Do you ever listen to that with Chris Hardwick?
No.
He's great. He does like more or less interviews with like people. He had one of my favorite ones that he did recently was with Joan Rivers.
Oh, okay.
Love Joan Rivers. And she's a hustler, man.
She is. She's
she
out
was
there
hustling Chris Hardwick. Like, how do I get on one of these podcasts? You know,
that's a
like
good Joan Rivers. We should just fuck the song. We should just do an impressionist hour with you.
And then we have This American Life, obviously.
Duh.
Radiolab.
Big endorsement for them.
Yeah, great. They're great.
Mr. Abumrad and Krolich. MCs Abumrad and Krolich, the worst names in radio.
Ever.
The best podcast on the internet. Their parents were totally like popping out those kids like, we got to name these guys so they can be on the radio.
And so they will never get made fun of.
No.
School.
Oh, God, those names. Name them Carmen.
Yeah. I listened to The Moth.
Moth is great.
Mark Maron, as we talked about before. Freakonomics here and there.
Freakonomics I don't listen to.
Sometimes, they just...
Why would I listen to that? I was an economics major in college.
Yeah. They just, like, pop too many out, you know, so sometimes it's like, ugh, it's like...
What are they doing, a podcast an hour or something?
Yeah, I know, so... But I love all of them. They're great.
Favorite?
I guess it would have to be This American Life.
Those ones are fun. I don't know. The Maron one speaks to me.
It was between Mark Maron and This American Life because he is a great interviewer.
It's certainly not as inspirational. No, he is a great interviewer. And although we cannot get on board with the 10-minute monologues in the beginning.
No, fast forward through it every time.
Imagine if I started off this podcast at the 10-minute monologue about my drug problems.
Oh, my God.
Not that I have any, Mom.
I liked his with he did the one with Fiona Apple that he
Fiona
did.
Fiona Apple one is incredible.
Yeah.
They talk about her being obsessed with a birdhouse in her
the
backyard.
The hummingbirds. Yeah.
She was studying this hummingbird, and you're like, this woman should be in an insane asylum.
Well, she got arrested.
She's getting close.
That's my girl, though. I love Fiona Apple.
The new album is spectacular.
Oh, my God.
Such a good album.
I can't even talk about it.
It's the only album this year that has a longer title than your bands. Try to name that album right now off the top of your head.
Oh, I can't. There's no way. Can you? It's a great little...
The Idler Wheel is something than the Screw and something, whipping ropes will serve you better than something will ever do. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. I remember when I read it, I was like, oh my God, she's so genius.
So poetic. And she drew the cover herself. She's so profound. You should draw the cover for your next album.
That whole album artwork thing that she did, like,
yeah, they got
amazing.
But then you realize that she hasn't left her house in 7 years.
Yeah. Well, she was done with the record for 2 years before it ever.
Yeah. What is she doing?
It was the record label.
They wouldn't release it unless she would tour with it or something.
I don't know what their reasoning was behind it. She mentioned it on the podcast that she was like, yeah, well, it's been done for 2 years. And I guess she was doing a show with, I was telling you about the Punch Brothers before.
Yes.
She did a show with like Chris Thiele, who's this like amazing musician. And I forget what other dude she was with, but I think she mentioned at the show, like, oh yeah. And on the new album. And then of course it went onto the internet and everybody was like, oh, Fiona Apple has a new record. And then the record label was finally like, all right, I guess we'll release the record now. So I don't know.
Good for her.
I love her.
That album we were both on board on. Mm-hmm. Other things we're listening to.
Okay.
Before we do the song, you know, let's get in a little...
Music mode.
Set the music atmosphere. Any albums you're listening to. The Grizzly Bear we mentioned, but you said you haven't listened to it yet. I've listened to it. Same sort of... There's a barrier of access with me with Grizzly Bear. I'll never understand it. I have a feeling that they're a very good band, but something about their albums as a whole never gels for me.
No. I've always thought that you were a huge Grizzly Bear fan.
Why would you think that?
I don't know.
Because I'm strong like a grizzly bear.
Or maybe because you told me that like one story about your professor on the subway with Grizzly Bear.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great story. I should maybe relate that. Tell it to the podcast.
Yeah, tell.
I'm not going to tell that story. It's like a third-hand story. So I had a professor as an undergraduate, a writing professor, who I, Rawson, the guitar player, multi-instrumentalist, mm-hmm. who's also in Department of Eagles. He had him as a student. And so he graduated, and my professor was on the train a year later and saw him and said, oh, man, what are you up to? And he said, oh, no, nothing much, really hanging out in New York. I got a job, and I got this band, the band being Grizzly Bear, this band I'm dabbling with. And so he said, oh, what's your job? He's like, oh, I write plumbing manuals in my spare time. I update plumbing manuals for plumbing supply companies. I said, well, that's a terrible job. He's like, and you're telling me I make $8,000 a year. So Grizzly Bear hits within the next year. Whatever. They're in the Yaris commercials, mm-hmm. everything, preempt the Super Bowl with 2 weeks, all that stuff. My professor runs into him 2 years later. They played Letterman. They played Leno. Whatever, I'm sure they were in the
Jay-Z's
top two.
Jay-Z's talking to
Jay-Z is vibing. So what song is he vibing to?
Grizzly Bear.
He was vibing to a very specific song, I remember. Can't remember. Anyway, so my professor runs into the Rawson guy on the subway. He's like, congratulations, man. I love the album. You guys made it. Like, you're the first sort of my rock star pupil. He's like, oh, it must be great not having to write those plumbing manuals anymore. And then the guy's like, oh, no, I still have to write those plumbing manuals. We don't make any money.
There's no press yet.
There's no press for that.
But fuck.
So just give them one album that, you know, you recommend that's on your iPad.
I don't have an iPad.
Whatever.
Do you want, like, a new record?
New record. You rediscovered it.
I really love Fiona Apple's new record.
We already talked about
it. I know, but like that's something that I'm listening to a lot. I really love a band called Why. They're featured as the intro song here. That's off their record Alopecia. But
what is that album title?
It's like, do you have alopecia?
I know what alopecia is.
Yeah, I don't know why they called it that, but that's
does someone
what it's
in
called.
The band have alopecia?
I don't know, but our tour manager's dad has alopecia.
Huh, my condolences.
Yeah. But they
devastating also, illness.
Devastating. They have a new record coming out. They released like an EP of like the songs that didn't make it onto the record, but they have a new record coming out, which I'm really excited about. What other bands do I really like right now?
Jimmy Eat World.
Jimmy Eat World. Yes. No. Never that.
I love Jimmy Eat World. I haven't listened to them recently.
Yeah, everybody. I never gave them a chance. So, like, forgive me for even saying that.
How dare you?
A lot of my friends, like, a lot of the guys in the band, like, grew up, like, oh, Jimmy Eat World. But I never got into it.
It defines a certain period in my life that I will never outgrow. I will always be.
There's always
indebted to them.
I feel that way about Sublime.
See, I hate Sublime. I was late on the train.
I like went through like my whole like starting to smoke pot thing with them, and like I was like a carefree like 16-year-old. I was like, oh, windows down, it's Sublime.
Windows down, Sublime up.
Yeah. So
40 ounces. And that
like always
glaring.
Reminds me of like a really different Everyone time should, in my life.
What album would I recommend? Baroness, I've been listening to a lot. Were they at the Hardcore Festival with you? They're a melodic metal band. Baroness. Their tour bus flipped over recently.
Oh.
Strange, I think it was in... Because Metallica's tour bus famously flipped over and killed their bassist, Cliff Burton. Their tour bus flipped over, but I think everyone survived. They were both in Stockholm.
Fuck.
So if your band goes on tour in Sweden, don't get on the bus. There's black ice. That's a great story, though. Bus flips. James Hetfield spends the whole night searching for the black ice that the driver said was there and never found it.
Man, that's crazy.
R.I.P. Cliff Burton. Wait, so R.I.P. Ryan Dunn. R.I.P. Cliff Burton. Anyone else? Any other ghosts you want to shout out to before we play the song?
Andy Kaufman. Although you still might be alive, I'm hoping for you.
Andy Kaufman, why? Did you watch Man on the Moon recently?
Did you listen to the Marc Maron podcast with Bob Zmuda?
No, not yet.
You have to. That's like Kaufman. The best podcast I've ever listened to. No, Bob Zmuda Except this one. It was like Andy Kaufman's right-hand man.
Right. The guy that set up Tony Clifton after he died.
You gotta listen to that podcast. You'll really appreciate it. So yeah. Andy, I love you.
My R.I.P.? Nora Ephron. Still grieving for that one. You don't write When Harry Met Sally and then go die on me. You can't do that. Can't do that. Brave. She fought it out, though. Proud of her. So let's play the song.
All right.
Nora, Ryan, Andy. This one's for you. We're going to play Ragged Wood by the Fleet Foxes. I haven't played guitar in two or three months. We rehearsed this once.
I have to sit back because I'm a loudmouth and I sing really loud.
I'm not sure how loud the guitar is going to be. I'm going to get closer with the guitar.
Yeah, and I'll back up.
You go over there. And, okay.
And a one, and a two.
Hold on, I have to pull up the chords. I forgot.
Okay,
this is happening.
This is live.
Live. It's the thrill of life.
This is how you know this is live podcasting.
Keep talking. I have to pull up the other chords chart.
Okay.
Now, don't even talk. We'll sit in awkward silence until we play the song. Okay.
Just nod at me right before I'm going to have to come in.
At you when you start singing?
What?
I'm going to play, a short intro.
Okay.
So everyone can get the feel of the song. You come in with the singing.
Okay.
Okay.
We did well.
I'm proud of us.
A little shortened version, but
yeah, a little.
I'm into it.
Good sign off, yeah. I think. Anyone else you want to say bye to? Firstly, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming, and guys, keep listening to Carmen's podcast. He's awesome.
Thanks. Bye.